Good evening, everybody. This is James McCanny with my Science Hour, April 2nd, 2020. And no, there were no April Fool's jokes yesterday that I saw. At any rate, a lot of topics to cover tonight. I will be, my main science topic, I'll be covering the mathematical analysis of the, this is like the backbone of this coronavirus, COVID-19. All of this, the backbone of this entire story was crafted long ago by mathematicians. And they were the first one. And on top of that went layer upon layer of fluff and fluff. That's the only thing you can say. There's a new movie out, by the way, that has a whole host of people, including Alex Jones and Roger Stone and a whole host of other people. I got a pre-release on it because I'm a talk show host. I get to see the trailer is online, but also I get to see the preview. I get to do a preview of this. But anyway, it talks about how they're basically created a movie script that they're following online. So this is exactly like just right out of Hollywood, just like 9/11. When 9/11 happened, all of those broadcasts were prepared. They were there already. America under siege, America attacked, America responds, and everybody was there glued to their TV like a bunch of, everybody got sucked in. I didn't. I sat there the morning that 9/11 happened. I was in my kitchen. And there was a little white TV that this guy had given me, a friend of mine, and he wasn't using it. He gave me this little white plastic TV with a tube, the old-fashioned, you know, TV tube kind of TV, one of these little things you put in your kitchen. And I, you know, I thought to myself, it was that morning, I didn't know anything was going on. I said, you know, I'm going to turn this thing on and see what it does. I turned it on, and there was the news, and there was Peter Jennings sitting in his full suit, announcing 911. Behind him, there was a big screen, and in comes, he's looking at you at the camera. Behind him is the big screen TV, and on it is coming the second plane. And he's reading a script. He goes, oh no, here comes another plane. Could it go hit the other tower? Crash. He goes, oh, and then after a while, the towers are burning and smoldering, and he goes, how long can these structures withstand this tremendous heat? And then they come tumbling down, all scripted, every last ounce of it. Peter Jennings, at the time, was the newscaster in the evening. What's he doing there at 9 in the morning in a full suit, ready to go, full screen behind him with the cameras exactly trained on the World Trade Tower centers, exactly just right to see the perfect angle of the second plane coming in. It was all scripted, boys and girls, grandmas and grandpas, and everybody in between. 9/11 was one of the most scripted things, you know, deals in history. The coronavirus thing, which is going on right now, is scripted also. I have seen the scripted pages. And they go hundreds of layers deep, where this is all prepared. The daily news announcements were planned long ago, on which given day this would be activated, etc. And so, and they have videos set up. Everything is canned, so the news media can go in, get their daily news story that they have to promote. It's all there. This was a canned political, socioeconomic, international. This is 9/11 international. They didn't crash into buildings. The basis for all of this is mathematical modeling, something that I happen to know quite a bit about. I taught mathematical analysis at the university level. I taught mathematical statistics, probability and statistics at the university level. I had the courses to do that, and I taught at the university level. I taught all these topics. But so when they talk about computer modeling or this whole idea of staying away from other people to reduce the amount of growth of the so-called coronavirus. And let me just preface this by saying it from all information I get, there is in fact a coronavirus. It's the COVID-19 thing. This virus is a real virus, but it's a laboratory virus. It's very clear that the U.S. deep state brought it to China, let it loose in the Wuhan area, and then the idea was this thing was supposed to grow out of bounds and grow beyond, you know, any recognition and take down China, then take down the U.S. They were expecting probably a million cases by now, just absolutely devastating the United States, and they don't even have, you know, that. So what they're doing is they're lying. They're lying. They're taking anybody that's sick, and they're saying that's a corona patient. You know, they are positive for coronavirus. And a lot of these people, older people who are dying anyway, are being labeled as coronavirus. So the numbers are all wacky, all way off base. And here's the bottom thing. I'm going to talk about this a little later in more detail. But it's all about the money. Now, you have politicians. I mentioned this. Listen to my show yesterday on John Moore's show. John had a call-in guest, a woman. I think her name was it Josephine? What was her name? I can't remember offhand. But anyway, she was a retired worker from Belmont, or is it Bellevue Hospital in New York. And so anyway, she had been in contact with workers there and saying that it's not representative of some kind of major virus or some kind of pandemic, that the people working there, just like normal, average, everyday, etc. So anyway, I'm going to be talking about that. But here's the deal when it comes right down to it. If you look at the states that were first to jump on the bandwagon, it was California, Washington State, Illinois, Michigan, and New York. And these are states that are broke. Primarily California, Illinois, Michigan, New York are states that are financially devastated. So the first thing, they were the first ones to jump up to the plate, and their governors and politics are basically Democratic Party. And so they went right along with it, declared, you know, wanted to have emergency declared where they would get funding because of their complete destruction of those states. And of course, there's big cities involved here. In Los Angeles, you got the San Francisco, Oakland region, the Bay Area, and then L.A. In Illinois, you have Chicago, which is a flaming disaster. And then you have Michigan. The Detroit area is one of the poorest areas in the country, most devastated economically without any recovery, some because of the Trump, getting jobs and factories back. But then you have New York, which is an absolute disaster. So at any rate, it's the money that is driving this. And if you look at foreign countries, say, third world Latin American countries, if the leaders of those countries will sign on the dotted line, then they get a boatload of money, big, big chunks of money. I mean, if you think a couple trillion dollars in the U.S. is a lot of money, if you're in a third world country, like, what do you, pick one, any of them. And by the way, that's why they had to get rid of the leader of Bolivia. Recently, they had to get him out of there, and they tried to get the leader of Venezuela out of there because those people resist the New World Order. And now you have Bolivia going into, you know, basically lockdown with its new president, who was put there by the New World Order, by the CIA, etc., where they were started killing the popular elected officials in Bolivia and then smearing them. Of course, that's what they always do. But it's all about the money. if these leaders of a state or a country, whatever it is, can sign on the line and say, and create a pandemic or the visual image of a pandemic, and then have a lockdown, they get money. And that's the magic formula. That's the magic formula. You do that, you get money. And then what happens to that money? If you don't think that's going into some people's pockets, you are blind. If you think that, and there's just a thing, too, with this whole bailout with the Trump couple trillion dollars, everybody's stepping up, wants their piece of the money, and, you know, giving a little smidgen to each person. Here are the actual numbers. The trillions of dollars that are being borrowed at the U.S. Treasury, which is now 1-1 with the Federal Reserve, which is not a bank of the United States, it's a European bank. There's $80,000 per person. That's your liability. They're giving you $1,200. Holy cow! Are you getting ripped off? Holy cow! Now your kids and grandkids will be paying for this forever. And you get a measly $1,200 out of this deal, and you get $1,200, but you owe $80,000. The American public are getting taken to the cleaners, big time. But okay, so I'll go through a bunch of these points later on, but now I want to concentrate on this topic that really I'm only the only person that's really can talk about this because I'm not bought and paid for it. And all of the rest of mathematicians, and I hate to say it, they fit in a group like NASA. Mathematicians once upon a time were independent. They worked at a university or they worked at some kind of a industry job, and they had to actually produce results. Now, they get their money based on the same criteria as a lot of science, that it's top-down. They study a certain topic in a certain way. Let me give you an example. Prime numbers, something I'm very familiar with. People that work in prime numbers in universities today, etc., work in what is known as mathematical analysis. It's a way of statistically looking at prime numbers. So you never work with prime numbers. You work with the statistics, the analysis of trends of prime numbers, etc. But you never really work with prime numbers. Okay, that's an example. But they get their money through the university, and it's something that has never gone anyplace. It's not going anyplace. The top people in the field openly admit that it's not going anyplace, never will go anyplace, will never resolve the major outstanding problems of prime numbers in mathematics. But that's what's going on. And so then you have mathematicians who work like at the Carnegie Mellon Institute, or they work at the Imperial University in London, other places. It might be Stanford, a CIA-controlled university. And so there's these think tanks and universities that are controlled by the CIA. So what do? They produce statistical analysis, and this is all done a long time ago. It's not like they sat down and did this yesterday. This has all been done for a long time. So what do? They put in this just like modeling, say, climate change. That's another one where the government paid people to model something. The people knew that if they came back and said, oh, the sky is falling as far as climate change is concerned at their computer modeling, then they would get money. If they came back and they said, well, our computer models say that there is no such thing as climate change, there's nothing to it, they just cut their throat. They just cut off the goose that lays the golden egg from the federal government. So, of course, they're going to come back and they're going to tell you everything in the world is wrong. You know, the roads are going to get sucked into the ocean. The buildings are going to come tumbling down. Everybody's going to die. You know, we got to, so everything possible They're going to tell you because their funding depends on that. Simple. It's money. So coming back to the the idea of sensationalizing the coronavirus, and there again, there's a misnomer that is used, for example, this is a good example, a good time to give this analogy, in the climate change industry, which it is, it's an industry, it's there because of money, it's there because of government funding. They, in that industry, they use heat and temperature interchangeably. Heat and temperature are not the same things. Heat is a quantity of energy. Heat is literally the amount of energy in a system. And I use this example. You take two boxes, exactly the same size. All the properties of the box are the same, and you fill them full of air. The air components of air are exactly the same. Everything's the same in your two boxes. They're the same size, everything. Okay, so then you measure the temperature in one box and you measure the temperature in the other box, and the temperatures are the same. The temperature is a measure of the activity, the molecular activity in the box. Okay, and you could have a formula which relates temperature to heat, the amount of heat in the box, but if you doubled or tripled or quadrupled the size of your box and you kept everything the same, and just added more air so it was exactly the same as before, the temperature would stay the same. So you'd have a lot more heat in the boxes because there's a lot more volume in the boxes, but the temperature is the same. So you can see that temperature and heat are somewhat related, but they're certainly not the same thing. So what they do is they intermix these terms, heat and temperature. They talk about global climate change, the heating of the atmosphere, and temperature change. But the problem is, now let's take another example. They say that there's going to be a rise in temperature of the Earth of so many degrees centigrade over so many years because of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Okay, well, that's good, but they don't count anything else. They don't count the CO2 content of the oceans. They don't count anything else in their models. They're very simplistic models. And so then what happens? They don't include variations in solar output. They don't include anything. And so then they come up with these amazing numbers. But let me go back to my boxes example. Okay, so now what we're going to do is we're going to remove some of the air from one of the boxes. Okay, but we're going to put some energy into that box so that the temperature rises. Okay, so the temperature you measure in the box now with less air has risen, but there's less energy in the box. The amount of heat in the box is less, even though it has a higher temperature. So I could go on and on and give examples like this all day. But my point is, they take and use the terms heat and temperature, which are not the same. They use them interchangeably. Terrible science. Terrible. I mean, this is chemistry 101. This is not even high school, senior, junior, sophomore chemistry, basic chemistry. Stupid what they're doing. Okay, in the world of the coronavirus, they're now using these terms interchangeably. Coronavirus, there is a whole pathological, there's a whole plethora of coronaviruses. The flu, the common cold, all of these and more, there's dozens of them, are coronaviruses. The one that they dropped off, they're talking about the COVID-19 coronavirus, which is a very specific laboratory. It's a constructed laboratory virus based on SARS. The SARS, remember SARS back in the early 2000s? Beijing, it was dropped off in Beijing. Once again, the Chinese are well aware of this. Made in the United States laboratory, dropped off in China to affect world conditions. And so anyway, and that magically went away all by itself somehow, as did, well, I'm not going to go into all of the pandemics that have occurred at the hands of laboratory viruses developed in the CIA and the military bio labs, etc., in the United States. There's some very good videos out there explaining this, and that's not what I'm going to do tonight. But they're intermixing all over the place the term coronavirus and COVID-19, COVID-19. They're intermixing those, and they're not the same. It's like using temperature and heat. They're not the same. And so they're going back and forth and you know, talk about confusion. And so now what they found out, like in northern Italy, where these numbers are going through the roof, and the Italian government is going to get boatloads of money. That's the key. Remember, get money. You have a pandemic. You declare a shutdown. You report all of the cases like good little politicians. And everybody that's dying up there, all of a sudden the normal death rate just went to zero. Nobody's dying of any other cause anymore. Everybody's dying of coronavirus. Everybody. Whether they had cancer or leukemia or respiratory or pneumonia or just old age or whatever it was, they're all being labeled as coronavirus. But remember, coronavirus is a general term. So what happens? Italy gets lots of money. Italy was financially devastated. They were in total financial collapse. Actually, the United States, in a sense, was not doing that good. I mean, you know, how many hundreds of trillions of dollars actually in debt is the United States, or tens, or doesn't even matter when you get to numbers that big. It's more than you can pay off in your lifetime or your kid's lifetime, you know, so what does it matter? It's indebted servitude to a bunch of bankers who literally don't have any more money than you or I. They just, boy, did they have a lot of scams going on. Okay, so anyway, that's the formula for success. Claim that the coronavirus is, you know, overtaking your region, your political region. Have a lockdown, you get money. That's the formula for success. But let's go back and look at the mathematics of this. So given that there would be a virus, this is mathematically modeling, and then people interact. You know, you go down the street, you go to the grocery store, the corner drug store, and somebody happens to walk in there coughing at the same time. You get the virus, you take it home, you give it to the wife and kids, the kids go to school, they give it to their friends, you know, and goes on and on. So this virus spreads and everybody gets it. And though there's a lot of questions about that too, exactly how this pathology works, moving from person to person, etc. And so, at any rate, that's not the purpose of my talk here either. But you know, it's a communicable disease of some kind, a virus, and so it goes from one person to the other, and then you know, it spreads throughout society. So you can, based on initial numbers, it starts with 10 people, then 100, then next week it's 1,000, etc. You can base mathematical models on this and look at the growth, etc., based on certain assumptions. But there's certain assumptions that are not in the computer models. For example, based on human beings having an immune system, how many people in the United States, for example, or any given statistical lot of people, how many people already have resistance to this because the immunological system of the country is already set, because coronaviruses are common. The flu, the cold, all of these coronaviruses, and this is just another one down the line. But of course, this one was engineered. So that, let me explain a little bit also when we talk about engineering a virus. Imagine that you're being attacked. Say that the Chinese brought massive amounts of people into Canada, and all of a sudden there's 5 million man army marching into the United States. You know, and you know, we're out of bullets. We don't have that many bullets. We don't have defenses. So then you your last line of defense would be to bring out the bioweapons and shoot them off in the air over your enemy so that they all get sick. Within a couple of days, they're all coughing to death. They all die, and that's what a bioweapon is for. It's kind of like it's kind of like what they talk about in military. You bring down an airstrike on your own location, on your own coordinates, because the enemy is overrunning you, and your only hope for survival is that the airstrike comes in and they kill the enemy and not you. And it could go the other way around, but that's your ultimate last-ditch effort, you know, in a military strategy when you're being overrun. But the whole idea of a military virus, that's it. That's your last resort. The enemy's coming in, they're just overwhelming you, you have no other alternative, so you send out the bioweapons and kill them all off. But unfortunately, these end up being used because the military, they don't like to have weapons unless they're using them. They love to shoot off their guns, shoot off rockets, whatever they got. And, virus seems to get into somebody's hands, and some nutcase out there, some Dr. Strangelove, is going to pull it out of the bag and do something with it. You know, it's just, if you think that there's security on this stuff, then it's like computer security, which I already said that many times. The only way to have computer security is to have your computer systems quarantined. There's no way in, there's no way out. And so in the world of cybersecurity today, they use different security techniques, something I'm very familiar with because I worked in that area for 25 years of my life. I'm an expert in cybersecurity, encryption, and telecommunication encryption, and firewalls, etc. And that was, of course, what led me to study the prime number problem and eventually solve it, where you can directly calculate prime numbers. Okay, so at any rate, and that's where, by the way, if somebody tells you they're using SSL, Secure Socket Layer, that's based on prime numbers. It's garbage. It doesn't work. Or if they're using, say, 128-bit encryption, or if they're using 256-bit encryption or something, it's garbage. It doesn't work. It's based on prime number, the public key encryption methods, and those were broken back in 2007 when I published my book, Calculate Primes. But they're still selling it. They're still selling that crap all over the place. Anyway, that's another story. But getting back to mathematical think tanks and universities, these groups they're paid to do mathematical analysis and computer modeling of things like coronavirus. If it gets into society, how does it spread? What are the parameters? What are things that can slow it down? You know, if you do social distancing, how does that slow down? And they have a curve then. Right now there's mathematicians that are coming out and saying, well, as soon as social distancing comes off and you bring the country back to normal, then the coronavirus is going to take off again. This is based on computer modeling. But the reality is that if the American public already have resistance to this, and it appears that's the case, because here's the reason. Even though they show staggering numbers of growth in the United States, here's the key issue. The test that is being used to determine if you or someone else has the alleged COVID-19 virus, there is no specific test for COVID-19, which is a variation of the SARS virus, which is a corona-style virus. There's many different types of viruses. But the test that they're using is called PCR. And this is the same test that is used, for example, to see if a man has prostate cancer. Many, many men are diagnosed with cancer of the prostate. They go in, they give them chemo, they operate on them, they cut out they do a prostate removal surgery, and then they use chemo and radiation. And then the man walks around and goes, well, I've been in remission for X number of years. Never had cancer in the first place. Some doctor needed a boat payment. And so here's this guy sitting there. He's, you know, 60-some years old. He's an easy mark. You tell him he's got cancer. Man, the wife gets worried. Everybody gets worried. You got to go in there, get the chemo, get the radiation, get the surgery. Hey, we're talking the hospital loves it. They make a lot of money. Yeah. And so all these people are getting surgery. 75% of the women who have breast removal for cancer never had cancer. This is big business. So if you think the medical industry is honest when it comes to your body, I got news for you. Don't go to the hospital. Don't go to the doctor because they'll find something to do to you to suck some money out of you. You know, if it's selling pharmaceuticals or, and then once you, your body is run down with pharmaceuticals, then they will, you know, this, I had a neighbor once, great old guy. He was a farmer from Wisconsin, sold the farm, moved to a little house, lived right next door to me. His wife, they were very wonderful people. And one day he said, I'm not feeling too good. I think I'll go to the doctor. And I said, have you ever had any problems before? No, never been to a doctor. He started going and doing the doctor thing. He started his doctoring. And by the time they were done with him, about 9 months later, he was dead. They did, I don't know what they did to him, but they went back and he started going more frequently and he started going downhill. And he was probably just the guy that worked on the farm and couldn't sit still. You know, he worked all his life on the farm. And once he got retired and moved off to this nice little house, but 9 months, he was dead. They killed him. I don't know what they did to him, but every time I saw him, he looked worse and worse and worse until the wife came back and she said he died. And I don't know what the initial cause of death was, but I suspect it was bad doctoring all the way. But I can only imagine how much money they sucked out of that poor guy or his insurance policy, you know, in those 9 months it's a racket. It's a giant racket. That's not the point of this show. But then let's get back to the idea of mathematical modeling. Now, what they're saying about the coronavirus, and let's couple this with what the news narrative wants to be. The news narrative wants to be, oh, it's growing. Every day there's more. Oh, now there's some in this community. Now that little town down the road got one case. Ooh, you know, it's just like, that's the news, that's the hype. But the end result is, this is not growing at the rate they were hoping. By now, there was supposed to be millions of people in the United States crawling around, coughing their lungs out. And like John Moore said on his show yesterday, he said, you don't see, you know, like in New York City, where the epicenter of coronavirus is supposed to be, he said, you know, from China, there were people that were like with their cell phones taking videos of people falling down on the street and dying right there. Boom, person just fell down dead. You don't see that in New York, even though there's, you know, what, 20 million people walking around with cell phones. You don't see a single case of somebody with coronavirus. Who's got this? You know, the numbers and people are starting to go to hospitals now, and what they're finding out is, hey, this is not commensurate with this massive, you know, epidemic of respiratory diseases. And even the numbers they're giving are far less than regular flu and other types of maladies that affect people every day. So it's certainly being blown completely out of proportion. Is there a virus? Yes. Is it contagious? It appears to be. I mean, it appears to be from the news that I can interpret. It appears to be. If you stop the social distancing, would it get worse? Well, that depends, because now there are ways to mitigate this, and that's one of the other factors in your computer modeling. If everybody could do something relatively simple and mitigate the issue so that they could go out and interact with other people, and let's just step aside here and look at what China did. China is 100% back to normal. They have been back to normal for quite a few weeks now. And when this first became an issue in the United States, the numbers were increasing in China, and they had a lockdown. It just happened to be during the same time as the Chinese New Year's, which runs for a number of weeks in China. I happen to know because I have dealings in China. I know people there. And I know when the factories are running and when they're not, etc. And they shut down the whole country during that time of the Chinese New Year. And so what they did is they isolated all the cases, something they're not doing in the United States. And they did something called vectoring. Vectoring is where you trace every person that comes down with this thing, you trace them back to where they got it. And okay, that person now has given it to other people. And you trace this back. It's done mathematically. It's done scientifically. So they knew every person who had the actual COVID-19 biological weapon virus. They knew where they were. They isolated them, and they're treating them in a separate way. And then after the quarantine period, they said, okay, all the people that are now without symptoms, you're good to go. You're good to walk out and go back about your business. So they were very smart with what they did. Now, supposedly, the United States has the most advanced medical system in the world. That is really incorrect. In fact, if you go to foreign countries like I do, you'll find that the United States is 42nd in the world in medicine, in medical care for its people. The United States is 42nd. 42nd on the list internationally of medical service for its people. It's horrific. So when Mike Pence goes, he leans his head back and he goes, I call Mike Pence the Chatty Cathy male doll. You pull his string and he spouts a platitude. He goes, the American medical system is the best in the world. It's like, geez, Mike, you got to drink a cup of coffee and wake up a little bit here or something. I don't know. He's just too sleepy, you know. And anyway, that's Howdy Doody political style. That's all I can tell you. If you don't know who Howdy Doody was, he was a wooden head puppet with Uncle Bob, and I think it was Uncle Bob, and had Howdy Doody was the puppet, the little talking, you know, puppet, the ventriloquist back when I was a kid. And but there again, if there was a simple method, and there appears to be a number of simple methods, I'm not going to talk to him about them on the radio, because these are things that are being researched in the medical environment, but there are very simple mechanisms to prevent people from getting the bad one, the bad coronavirus, the COVID-19 one, the military one, and a lot of people are already immune to it. So instead of just testing to see if somebody's got the virus, they should be testing people for the immune response that they already should have, a lot of people, so that it's not going to affect them. Now, none of this gets put into the computer models, because that's not what they want to push. The narrative they want to push is that this thing is going to keep growing, and the little weasel, Dr. Fauci, is he a doctor? I don't even know. I think he's a doctor. The little weasel that Trump always has there. I haven't seen him lately. But there again, I haven't seen all the news lately. But anyway, he was saying a number of days ago that, oh, this should reach 1 million. There should be 1 million people infected in the United States. And of course, that would just devastate the the medical, you know, all the hospitals would be full. You know, there wouldn't be room for them. They'd be laying on the cots down the street, or they'd be just laying on the street because of not having enough facilities for them. But that doesn't seem to be the case. So the end analysis here is that this is not going according to the modeling projections, the mathematical modeling projections. This is not going according to plan. And so they continue the hype and the sensationalism, and thus this movie, I want you to all watch this, it's called Sensational, about how they're sensationalizing the news media. And like I said, I've seen web pages that were planned a long time ago that have the daily news announcements and what the daily news announcements should be. Okay, so anyway, this is the topic of the day. I hate to have to waste my show on this, but it's important because in, say, decades from now or 100 years from now, when people come back and analyze this event from a distance, what they're going to realize is that this was all a fabricated issue, and they have the ability. Now, here's the crux of the issue. The people pulling this off also have the ability to implant more virus into the society. So if things ever start calming down, if things ever start getting back to normal, they can quick inject some, so there's all of a sudden this explosive number of cases, and shazam, as they say, everything is exploding out of control again. And that's what they want to do. They want to take the United States down because China was a big prize. They didn't get it. China's independent. They have their own banking system. They're basically in the world, they're a world power, not only in terms of military, but in terms of manufacturing, but in terms of banking also. And so the Chinese are competing, in a sense, with the European bankers. The European bankers are not doing well. Their oil industries are failing. Every time they do something over here, they affect their bottom line over there. The only thing they can do, as Bill Gates says, is use fear to control the public. And so why are people listening to Bill Gates when he's one of the instigators of this entire issue? The guy should be in prison. He should be in solitary confinement, 10 layers down, where they never see the light of day again. Okay, so I'm going to divert a little bit here onto some other topics, but just make sure, look for the video that I saw of David Icke. It's about an hour long, and it's just a talking head video. You just him on a camera, but it's excellent. I met David in 2002 or 2003. I was an invited speaker at the UFO Congress in Laughlin, Nevada, and David was there. He was at the booth right across from me in the auditorium, because you have the speaker room, which is a big, one of the big casino hotels there. It had room for about 1,500 people sitting in the audience, and you can see me actually at that talk I have on my DVD number 1 and 2, the historical significant videos. Both of my talks at UFO Congress, I think it's 2003 and 2004, are there. And so anyway, David had his booth across from mine, and he's been basically talking his talk and walking his walk since for a long time. And a very real person, and very intelligent and very astute analysis. So I want you to go out and find that. David Icke, I-C-K-E. He's from England, and very good analysis of this, the whole coronavirus deal. Yesterday morning, another good show with John Moore. I missed last week because of technical difficulties. But yesterday, I was on John Moore, and then he had his guest caller, this nurse woman from New York, which was very interesting. And then the movie Sensational that should be enough homework for you to get around this coming week. I'm going to talk about some other issues here dealing with, say, my product line. This is something very important. About 2 weeks ago, we ran out of stainless steel containers, the kitchen standard and the traveler models, a little bit smaller. We ran out of containers, and it's going to be really a long time till we get those back. But I certainly still have my standard JMCCGF filter elements. Those are made in our own factory in the United States. And the Imperials, and we've been selling a lot of those. And by the way, if you don't have a container for a water filter, go out and get yourself locally food-grade containers. Get two of the exact same size that have the covers, the snap-on covers. And you drill a hole in the bottom of one, and then you drill a hole in the top of the other one, which is a little bit bigger. And the whole, wait till you get, and what I'm saying here is order the water filter elements from me. And if you have any other make or model of gravity water filter, my filter elements fit those. They're all standard. The hole in the hole that goes into them are the same. They have been since the Daltons made these back in the, going back to World War II, you know, and before. And going back into the 1800s, literally, the Daltons were making ceramic containers to hold their ceramic filters. And, of course, what I'm making now are light years ahead because they take out everything all in one filter. They don't have an add-on filter. All of the other brands of filters out there have an add-on filter just to take arsenic and fluoride out of the water. And they don't last long. They're really expensive. They only last for about 500 gallons. Nobody tells you that. So people are drinking fluoridated and arsenic-laden water, thinking that it's being filtered when those little, I used to sell those, the little screw-on, they go in the bottom container, they screw on the bottom of your filter elements. I don't sell those anymore. All of the arsenic, fluoride, and all of the removal of volatile organic chemicals, glyphosate, you know, the whole long list of chemicals, and heavy metals and, you know, the long aluminum, all of those things taken out in the single filter element. They're available in 4-packs or 10-packs and the standard size and Imperial, and they're still on sale. They're still marked down and free shipping to the 48 states. So I don't know. So anyway, if you don't have a container, just go out and get yourself a couple of food grade, remember the food grade, plastic containers, the same size, one sits on top of the other one. When you get your filters in the mail, or UPS typically, then drill the holes. And I would use one filter element at the time, right in the middle. And that's where what I've been doing for a long time. I have quite a few of those different places I go. They're still using them. There's one I went to down in the South America, down in the jungles. I was there a number of years ago. They had a filter that I brought to them and gave it to them for 10 years. And there they just poured the water right in off the local water source, off the groundwater. And then because of that, they had to like rub it clean, the ceramic outer part. They would rub clean, but they didn't have chemicals in the water like you do in the city. And so it was just filtering with the ceramic, outer white ceramic part. And that thing looked like it was really thin. And it was still working. 10 years that poor family worked and used that filter. And it was still working for them. And I got them a new one. Gave them a new one, which will last them another 10 years. But anyway, they're cleanable. And take out everything all in one. So anyway, that's what I would suggest. Get your own containers if you don't have a container. If you've got a container from any other maker model, buy my water filter elements. They're the best on the planet, and they're the lowest price ones on the planet. And by the way, they're the only ones on the planet right now because everybody else is out because they get theirs from India and China. So go figure. Okay, just want to mention also, we still have the above sink and the below sink water filters with the replacement filter elements for those. And so people are buying those more and more because they're in line, but they need pressure. You know, if you don't have water pressure in the pipe, they're not going to work. And that's why people like the Gravity, because you can carry it with you. It's easily, you know, you take it with you. It's you just pour the water in, it filters. There's nothing to plug in. There's no hoses, whatever. And then there's the MR5 and 7 whole house water filters. And we've got those in stock, stainless steel container. And they're not that difficult to install. It's about a half a day. The feedback I get from people, they get a plumber to put them in if they're not very handy. It's about a half a day job. Put one of these things in with the bypass valves. And also comes with a optional spin down filter for sediment if you have a well, and a final ultraviolet filter that kills viruses and everything else that gets through the filtration system. And those are optional. So also I got my containers and everything else on the webpage. Remember my Patreon channel. I'm starting to put more content on that. The link there is on my webpage. And my paid casts, I'm in my educational program right now. A lot of work. That is a lot of work, putting those programs together for the educational package, because that's something that's going to go on for decades in the future. That's something that's going to be used by youth and adults too, to become educated in the real way of the world, something that used to be taught and has been almost forgotten. So I'm trying to bring that back and also teach science and reasoning and the fact that you are not just a little bit smarter monkey than the ones out in the jungle. The human race, the thing about the human race is you have a spirit living in you. And I've talked about this before. It's imperative that you start to learn to talk to your inner self. That's kind of like some people would say, though, that's my conscience speaking to me or something like else. So that's there, you know, there's the physical part, which is your physical body and brain and nervous system and muscles and bones and et cetera. And then there's that spirit. There's that energy system that lives in you and interacts. That's what makes people play the piano. See, you ever see a monkey play the piano? Come out with play Beethoven? No, they don't do it because they don't have a spirit. They don't have that creative spirit inside them that goes, wow, I got a body to work with here. And so the interaction between your spirit, in fact, the black people call it soul music. They call it soul music for a reason, because it comes from your spirit. That's why you feel it. You listen to those black people singing, Baptist church, you know, the songs. Those people are living the music because their soul is in it. Soul music, etc. And that's, you know, go down south to New Orleans or Memphis or, you know, that's part of the culture. You can just kind of feel it when you walk down the street. I love that song. I forgot the guy's name who sings it. Walking in Memphis, you know, and it's just like it is. You walk in that area and you just kind of like, you can feel it. You can just feel the emotion of the music and the soul and the spirit. And literally, that's what it is. I used to live in New Orleans. I used to go down to the French Quarter in New Orleans, and I lived up by Tulane, where I went to university there. And I'd jump on the streetcar late in the afternoon sometimes, and I'd go down to the French Quarter for a couple hours, take my work with me, and I'd sit at the Napoleon House or one of the other fancy little outdoor restaurants or, you know, cafes, and do my work and watch the people. Oh, you want to watch people? Wow. That's the place to do it. And so anyway, yeah, quite the experience. But it's a place that's just alive. It's very European in that respect. But anyway, why did I start talking about all of this? Because of your soul. You have to connect. And one of the things you need to have a clean body is clean water. You need clean water. That's basic. That is basic. People are probably asking about the wing generator. I've been a bit on hold here because I have shipping available. But it's like you don't know from one week to the next what things are going to be available and what things are not going to be available. It's kind of difficult to manage in this world today when, you know. So at any rate, although the shipping containers are available, if people need shipping containers, those are very much available. All this, go to my webpage, jmccsci.com. All of this very available. Now, I'm going to end this show with a little advice. People are probably, we're in a number of weeks into this, all this lockdown, quarantine stuff. And here's what I would suggest. First of all, turn off the boob tube because it's full of misinformation. It is just chronic misinformation. So turn off the TV. Forget about listening to mainstream news media because it is just corrupt and going to fill you full of it. The whole object is to fill you full of fear. That's what 9/11 did. That's the point of the evening news, even on a good night. And start to develop relationships with your family. It's a good time to sit down and talk about the future. What are we going to do when all of this ends? And here's what I would personally like to see, because the world was kind of going crazy, trying to get more money, get more, just going crazy. It's time to sit back as a civilization and say, what are we doing? What are we doing all this stuff for? How come we got military grade viruses that are being developed and then they get turned up back on us? You know, that seems to be, that's what happened with the, I heard Judy Mock, what's her name, Mokovich, talking on a video. She was working in one of the Bio4 labs up in Dietrich, working on a lot of these things, thinking she was helping people. When I was working in the 90s with Russian scientists developing the techniques to control hurricanes, I thought I was doing it to help people. And then it gets absconded by these nutcases and use it for a military weapon. And then they use it against the public. Katrina and all of these Florida hurricanes, all controlled by, and this was the U.S. military doing this. Those Russian scientists went to the UN and they said, hey, these guys now have this technology. This has to be classified as a military weapon, and it can't be used against civilian populations. And that's exactly what the U.S. did. I hope this thing starts to turn around. But as a civilization, we have to start taking things back under control, because the government is not doing a good job of caretaking us or the planet or the environment or the resources, and on and on. This is James McCanney. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.